Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus in the chapter 40, which is where we're going to be today. This is the end of this book. It's the last chapter in Exodus. In the life of Israel, they have been 1 year in travel. 1 year since they left Egypt, and they are at Mount Sinai. They haven't gotten very far. And sometimes we're an impatient group, just like Israel was. They wanted to get to the promised land. They wanted to get to that place of blessing. But what they didn't realize was when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're in that promised land. You're in the place of blessing. And that's what God was truly trying to teach them. And for 1 year, they travailed. We've not been travailing 1 year yet as a new church. We're just within our 8 months, but we're still travailing. We're still moving forward. In fact, just this week, as I came home from the mountains, I found that in the mail, we had yet two more pieces of our puzzle. We had to modify our articles of incorporation, which your elders did, to include a dissolution clause that if we would ever stop being a church, that all the funds and everything would go to another entity of like-mindedness, et cetera, et cetera. The government has to have such things. But the reason that they had to have it was so that we could truly be finalized in the final piece of setting us apart unto the gospel of Jesus Christ and recognizing that we are a religious entity and having our tax-exempt status granted in full. And those papers were in my mailbox this week. So let us give a praise and glory unto the Lord. For we are yet on our way as a congregation. But so too are we as sojourners. And that's what was going on here with Israel. They were moving forward, slowly, baby steps, because they did not know the Lord and they had to come to know the Lord. And as we just saw here over these past weeks, God does have a vision and a plan and a purpose for our lives. And it's coming into that and being able to see things fully that we understand just who He is and how He wants us to be with Him. And that's why this last chapter is so important, because something happens here at the very end that I pray that we would all receive. Because last week I left you with a question: are you ready? Are you ready to see His glory? Okay? Are you ready? Well, today we're going to get there. Today we're going to get there. We're going to begin in the first verse of chapter 40. Moses here is getting ready to do something that the Lord has instructed him to do. And it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the ark of the testimony in it and shield the ark with the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the golden altar of incense in front of the ark of the testimony and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtains at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments. Anoint him and consecrate him so he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics. Anoint them just as you anointed their father so they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue for all generations to come.' Moses did everything just as the Lord had commanded him." When we read these first scriptures here, we see that God again lays out to Moses a set of plans, a set of instructions. God has a plan for our lives. But we have a couple of questions that we need to ask. And the first one is, are we willing to allow God this place as Lord of our lives? Now, I had an amazing conversation this past week. In fact, I was up till 2:30 in the morning on November 16th. It went from the 15th into the 16th. And so you all, you know, I go to the mountains to have fun, right? I go to the mountains, and I'm a minister no matter where I go. And the awesome thing is, when God says, hey, I say, yes, Lord. So I was speaking to this young gentleman that I've known, oh my goodness, he was this big. And now he's a man. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Rich, now this is cool, because like I said, I've known this guy since he was knee-high, right? He says to me, Pastor Rich, doesn't call me Rich, he's known me forever. He said, I got to tell you something. He said, you know, I gave my life to the Lord when I was a kid. I said, yep, I remember that. That's how long I've known this guy. He's in his late 30s now. He said, well, he said, something happened to me on February 23rd of this year. He said, and I need you to explain it to me. I said, well, if I can. He said, when I was a kid, I gave my life to the Lord, and you know, I accepted him as the Lord Jesus, that he died for me. And he said, and I thought I was saved. I said, okay. He said, I lived my life and did my stuff. And he said, you know me. He said, now I'm going to be blunt with you, okay? I did drugs, ran around with a lot of women, drank a lot. He said, did things my way, but I always knew Jesus was there. I always loved him. I went to church. I read my Bible. I prayed. He said, but on the 23rd of this month, he said, after being engaged, and women have a tendency to do this to you guys, after I've been engaged for 4 months, I found I just couldn't do it. You see, women have a way of bringing us to the place of understanding. We can't do it alone. Huh, I think God said that in the book of Genesis. It's not good for man to be alone, so I will make for him an helpmeet. And it's not until we meet that helpmeet that we realize we really can't do it alone. Because God has a way of getting in there. But David said to me, he says, I was at the bottom, he said, I just didn't know what to do. He said, and I found myself on my knees asking the Lord, Lord, I need to surrender it. I need to give you control. I need you to guide me because I can't do it alone. I'm 51 years old and I was sitting there crying like a baby because my friend finally got it. When he was a child, he thought as a child and he spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And here this young man was, believing as a child and receiving as a child, but now as an adult, he's turned his life over. He accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior. And many of us do that. Many of us listen to God enough to hear Him, and we come to Him as Savior. But God's not done. He doesn't end there. He says, now you need to look at me and know that I am Lord. What does Lord mean? It means guide. It means master. It means keeper. It means protector. And He is all those things when we will submit to Him, just as these people were being asked to submit in setting up a tent. But what they didn't realize was that tent was more than just a tent. And we need to realize that that tent no longer exists because that tabernacle is within each and every one of us. And yes, we, like Egypt, can walk with Him and He'll go before us. But when we truly come to the place of recognizing Him not only as Savior, but as Lord, then He begins to set up that tent of meeting. Did you catch that? The tent of meeting. That place where we will meet Him face to face. And it's not out there somewhere. It's right here. And it's real. And it will change everything about us when we listen to His plan, when we submit ourselves to His purposes. when we are listening to His directives. One of the things that I often ask people is, are we willing to listen for God's direction? Moses had to listen to hear what God was telling him, what to do. I mean, if you think about the tabernacle and all the different pieces that went into it, all the different furnishings, all the different articles that had to be created, Moses listened. And then the people listened to Moses. And it's the same way with the church today. Okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm the only one that God's going to speak to, because that's not true. You all know that. But God is going to speak to me to lead this congregation forward, to move us to the place where He wants us to be in the large picture. But you're all going to have vision too. God's going to use you. You. God is going to talk to you, Merle. God's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you, I want you helping in this ministry. He's going to talk to you, Shannon. And He's going to say, I want you to start this process within this church, because it all fits upon the structure that has been built, that plan that God has had. Some of us have been here before. Some of us are new. Some of us don't know where we fit. Some of us fit at a place before that now God doesn't want you there. He wants you somewhere else. Are you willing to hear from Him and do and be what God wants you to do and be? Or are we going to be like the people of old who said, Lord, I'm going to do this, now bless my mess. Isn't that what we do? We run out there ahead of God and we do our thing, and then we turn around and say, oh, by the way, bless this. I'm doing it for you. And God says, no, you're not. You never asked me about that. You never came to me and asked me what my plans were, because that's what lordship means. Lordship means He's in control. It's His plan. He's the one who gets to dictate what comes. And boy, we don't like dictators, do we? Oh my goodness, we don't like dictators. As a nation, we kill them. Or we elect them as president. Sorry, I don't mean to get political there. But the reality is, we have got to ask ourselves, are we willing to listen to what God has to say? And are we willing to put our stuff aside and ask God for what He wants for our lives? Because I'll guarantee you, what God brings into our lives is going to be far better than anything we could put into it. We cannot add value to life. All we can do is detract from it and take it away. Okay? We can take value away. We cannot add value to. Because that's what sin does. Sin in us takes value away. It does not add anything. God wipes out the sin and thereby adds value to our lives. And that's what God was doing in the midst of these people. God was adding that value. He was bringing them to a place of seeing His plan, His purpose, and His desires for their lives. And setting up this tabernacle. It happens in your own life. How many of you are in need of something today, and rather than asking God to help you, you're just out there trying to do it yourself? Okay? Now, you all know I pick on my family at times like this, right? So I'm going to pick on Russell just for a moment. Russell wanted a truck. I now have two trucks in my yard. However, today one of them is going to be torn apart and cut up and torched, and I'm happy. But the reality is, Russell wanted a truck. Now, Russell got a truck. That truck was nowhere near what he thought it was after he got it home and we started looking at it, and everything was rusted out like Swiss cheese. How about it? So then we had to go get another truck, so the first truck could be made back into a truck. And I often wonder to myself how many times, you know, and I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I'm just simply giving an example of how we often move, and then all of a sudden we realize, oh, man, that wasn't the best move, so now I got to move again. But the amazing thing is, God's a redeemer, isn't He? God is a redeemer. Because Russell told me this whole thing started when he said, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I need a project. Over the course of time, my son's come to learn the project isn't the truck. The project's him. And I'm proud of him. See, I don't mind using my son for stuff like that. God used his son for stuff like that. And we all need to remember God wants to use us, his sons and daughters, for stuff like that. God has a plan for your life. It may not work the way you want it to work, but if you submit to him, it's going to work the way he wants it to work. And it's going to develop you into the type of individual that he wants you to be. He is going to fill you with his glory. How do I know that? Let's read on. From verse 17. So the tabernacle was set up on the first day of the month in the second year. See how we know they've been in this situation for a year? God tells us, took them a year to get here. Then Moses set up the tabernacle. He put the basins in place, erected the frames, inserted the crossbars, and set up the posts. Then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put up the covering over the tent as the Lord commanded him. He took the testimony and placed it in the ark, attached the poles to the ark, and put the atonement cover over it. Then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the table in the tent of meeting on the north side of the tabernacle outside the curtain and set out the bread on it before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. He placed a lampstand in the tent of meeting opposite the table on the south side of the tabernacle and set up the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. Moses placed the golden altar in the tent of meeting in front of the altar and burned fragrant incense on it as the Lord commanded him. Then he put up the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. He set the altar, a burnt offering, near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered on it burnt offerings and grain offerings as the Lord commanded him. He placed a basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it for washing. And Moses and Aaron and his sons used it to wash their hands and feet. They washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you a question. Do you ever wonder why the Bible repeats itself? Sometimes I think God has Alzheimer's. He repeats himself. You know those people. You walk up to them and they tell you a story and you walk away from them and come back 7 minutes later, and they tell you, oh, hey, did I tell you? And they start into this thing, and you just don't have the heart to tell you, yeah, you just said that to me 5 minutes ago. The awesome thing is they don't miss a beat because every item is exact, boom, 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 boom. And it's kind of cute to me because I actually have friends that I've heard their stories so many times, I can literally mouth them as they go along, okay? But this isn't a bad thing. Why? This isn't a bad thing here because God is showing us something that is so important. We need to understand. This repetition is here for our sake. So we get to understand what's going on. Just as my friend wants me to understand, he may not remember or she may not remember that they gave me the story, right? But it was important to them. And if it was important to them, then it should be important to me too if I love them and to hear them, okay? And then I can understand a little bit more about them. That's the awesome part. I get to understand a little bit more about them. But what's going on here is God wants to show us the total reality of follow through. Okay? God wants to show us the total reality of follow through. Because God gave Moses this vision. This is what it's supposed to be. He gave him this instruction. And Moses bought into that vision. Moses said, yes, Lord. Yes, what you want, that's what I want. Because I know that as we follow that, good things are going to come to us. Because we're being obedient to you, who is in charge of all things, good things are going to come to me. So Moses wrote down, this is what God said to do. This is what we did. Why? Because he wants to show that there needs to be followed through. There's a difference between listening and hearing. Okay? There's a difference between listening and hearing. How many times did my parents ever tell me, I wish you would listen to me And I would always say to him, but I do listen to you. I just don't hear it all the time. Because the word hear means not only to listen, but to follow through and to do what you've been told, to do what was set before you. And Moses heard the Lord because he did as the Lord commanded. How many times did we read that? And he did as the Lord commanded him. And he did as the Lord commanded him. It's follow through. It's understanding that God has a plan, and he wants that plan to affect your life. And the only way it's going to affect your life is if you follow through. You know, it's kind of like the instructions that come with that bookcase that you bought, or that barbecue that you bought, okay? You know, there's a commercial out there on TV right now, and I really love it, okay? And it's this guy, he puts a pool together, and he says, you know, it's that commercial, nuts or bolts. You know, oh, what are all those nuts for? And about that time, the swimming pool blows apart. Okay? If we'd only read the instructions, right? And that's what God wants us to do before it all blows apart. Read the instructions. Follow through. Because when we follow through, God's going to give us a blessing, and he's going to sustain us in his will, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his love. That happens to us corporately as God puts his plan before us, and we start setting out the different pieces that are happening. Miss Dottie made an announcement here this morning where she said, well, the adults will be meeting somewhere in the building. And the reason she said that is because she heard rumbling the pastor is saying right now, we really need the sanctuary for choir rehearsal. We really need the sanctuary to be quiet so, you know, folks understand that this is a holy place, okay? Because koinonia is going to be happening out there, and we need this area for some other things in ministry. And if we have the Sunday school class in here while we're trying to rehearse, and we're just going to be too pushed. So we've got to move things just a little bit. It's called tweaking, right? It's called listening to the Lord. We know we need to have these things, but it doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be the way we want it to be. It needs to be the way God wants it to be, and following through on what God wants. Finding his discernment. How many times does that happen in your life? How many times has God said to you, you know, Brother David's not here, so he won't speak up. But we all know Brother David. He'll walk into Walmart or Wise Market or Giant or wherever, and he'll see somebody, and all they have to do is smile at him, and he'll start a conversation. Right? We all know Brother David. Okay? How many times has that person smiled at you, and you know the Lord is telling you, go talk to that person, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. I need something over here in this. Oh. We need to be where God wants us to be. We need to be the people God wants us to be. And we need to do what God wants us to do. We need to follow through. And that can be a scary thing when it's something new and different, can it? But it's awesome to see what happens when we do follow through. You know, Mitch was telling me a little bit earlier this year about how they've been taking the gospel to several of the different places that they've never been able to get into. And they are distributing testimonies. Now, when we say that, we mean New Testaments, okay? They're distributing the Word of God. And those people's lives are going to be changed. Because the Word of God does not go forth and return void, but accomplishes the task to which he has set it forth. Praise his holy name. Amen. So when we think about those realities, if we weren't out there doing those things that God asked us to do, if we weren't following through, knowing that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives, how would the gospel ever be spread? How would these children, you know, this is a follow through. You do understand that, right? This is a follow through. These children are going to receive these gifts knowing that they came from somebody half a world away. You know, I have no idea where they're going to go. That's why I asked the kids, where do you think they're going to go? And they were right in their answers, weren't they? Russia, Egypt, Africa. And then I wanted to bring it down to in every one of those places where they're going, the reality is they're going into a child's hands. Doesn't matter where they are. A person is going to receive it. And that's what God says to us. Are you going to receive my instruction and then do what I've asked you to do? Because if we do, there is something so much greater in store for us. Because as God sets up this tabernacle in us, and we begin to follow through and to buy into this vision, because we need to understand something. The vision then becomes our vision. Okay? It becomes part of us. It becomes part of our drive. When we understand that God has the plan, and we accept the plan, God begins to change who we are to come in alignment with Him. And His plan, and His glory, and His grace, and His mercy, and His blessing. Now remember what we said here at the offering? By the measure you use, so too shall it be measured back unto you, pressed down, shaken out, and overflowing. Okay? So if you're walking in obedience to God and you're doing what God says, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to pour out more. God is not a God of less. He is a God of more. He always has been, and He always will be. He is a God of more. And the more of Him you receive and pour out, the more of Him you will receive. Not less, more. Because God wants to know you more. He wants you to have more. He wants you to be more. And as we follow through and we see that this is not only His vision, but then it becomes our vision, we will also see that vision will begin to come into completion. And it starts short at first. It starts small, okay? How many of us realize that we right now are in the promised land? I do. This is where we're supposed to be. This is where we're supposed to be. This, I can say this in my life right now. On November 17th, at 11:30, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because this is where God has me, and this is where I want to be. I have no idea where I'm going to be 1/2 hour from now. I have a plan in mind, but I also need to be willing to change that plan because God orders my steps. You know, that's scripture. We are to plan our day, but to remember that God orders our steps. How many of you allow space for the Holy Spirit in your lives? Or are we so regimented that we cannot allow one little thing to change? I'll guarantee you, if that was the case, my life would be so much different, because I have put things on my calendar and all of a sudden I find myself calling people up and saying, hey, I have to cancel that because this came up and I need to be there. My family's understood that for years. Pastoral families, that's one of the things that they go through. It's one of the reasons it's so hard on pastors and their families. Because there are many times that the family feels that they come in second or third or fourth. And in reality, they are supposed to be second right after God. God is always first, amen? But it's understanding that we need to change our plans. We all need to be able to change our plans, to be submissive to God, and to understand that God has a way of raising us up and teaching us things, okay? We are iron sharpening iron. So when your plans are set and they're in stone, remember, Moses broke the tablets, okay? Even tablets of stone can be broken. And aren't you glad, because our hearts were as stone and God broke it and has now given us a heart of flesh that we may love Him fully. Aren't you glad? We need to understand God's directives follow through. God changes who we are. And how does He do that? That's the last part. Look at your scripture one more time. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. All the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in the cloud by night. in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. Brothers and sisters, Israel didn't get it right. And this is something I want you to understand. And it was so amazing because Miss Sally and I were talking about this, and you know, how does this fit into vision and seeing God and opening ourselves up to what He wants? And the reality is, when we begin to see that God has a plan and we begin to follow through, that His vision becomes our vision, God does something in us in spite of ourselves. Because you see, it's not up to whether or not we follow through with 100% accuracy. God knows we can't. I mean, think about it. Even when you do read the instructions, there are always two or three pieces left over in that box. And you wonder for the next 6 months where they went. And you put them in the junk drawer just in case you figure it out because something falls off later, right? I think they put those extra pieces in there just to mess with our heads. And I think God allows things to come into our lives to keep us questioning, to keep us close, to keep us real with Him. Because if it were that easy, do as I say, do be blessed, we would become so complacent with who and what we are that we would never question what we were being told, whether it came from Him or somebody else. But God always wants us in that relationship, working with Him. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is important, folks. Where's the tabernacle now? When we listen to the Lord and we begin to rearrange our heart and realize that my brother who's telling me that I'm doing something wrong is not coming at me to hurt me, but is helping me to become a better human being, to become better at what I'm doing, then I will see that, wow, God's using him to rearrange the furniture in the tabernacle, to light the lampstand, to trim the wicks, and to become that better person, that his glory may shine within me. Because as I submit myself to those things and those realities, he will reside in me. He will reside in our congregation as we begin to submit to him, as we begin to move in his being. And he will be glorified. When people walk into this facility, okay, and I cannot wait to see what our facility is going to look like. Don't hear me saying that I think we've arrived. You know, this is one of those things like I teach the young people when they're getting married. A Christian life is one of always achieving but never having arrived, okay? Because we don't arrive until we finally get there. The promised land is not the facility that we're going to build, folks. The promised land is when we finally stand in glory before Jesus Christ and God the Father is there and he says to us, Dad, this is one of mine. I'd like you to meet him. Then we're at the promised land. And not only has God filled us with the glory, but then, and this is kind of cool because the tide reverses. When we fill heaven, we fill God with glory as he receives us to himself. Think about that. Paul even said it. You are my glory. Why do you think he said that? Because the Holy Spirit told him that. You can say that when you look in the mirror every day. Look in the mirror every day and say, I am the glory of God in Christ Jesus. Because that's what he says of you. Barb, you. Nicole. Noelle's up front. Nicole. That's what he's saying about you. Run. Look hard. Put your glasses on. A little easier. That's what he's saying about you. Every one of us. That's what he's saying about you. He wants to fill you with his glory because one day you will be the fullness of his glory when he presents you to himself. Do you understand how important Exodus 40 is? Because, folks, it does not depend on us. Israel messed up all the way along. But yet, because one man remained faithful to the best of his ability. And let's remember, Moses didn't get into the promised land, did he? But because he remained faithful to the best of his ability, the whole nation was blessed. You need to be that one man. Because the nation he's going to bless is you. He says that you will be a nation, a holy priesthood. We need to remember, just as Aaron and his sons were anointed, so too have we been anointed. But we've been anointed with a better anointing. Ours is not of oil of pressed olives, but ours is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who resides in us and is the glory of God revealed. So today, I ask you yet again, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing to listen? And are you willing to hear and do and follow through? Let us as a church stand before the Lord, and let us give Him our resolve as we come before Him with the reality in our benediction that we are God's people.